Very thankful once again to be with you this morning. Once again, welcome here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Been a subject that's been upon my heart for some time. And I guess that some of it stems from what it took in order to preserve things for us to see today. And some of which that while traveling, we saw many that we needed to encourage to also pick up and read their Book of Mormon because of the sacredness of it, what it took to bring it forth, and what the Lord had vested in it for people to see and to be led by, and all that its purpose is to behold. And so, if the Lord had went to all this trouble and invest his divine will within it, for people to take it up and to read it and to declare what's within its covers. And there was great effort in order to be able to bring it forth, a great effort and plan, divine plan, and from thousands of years ago. And I was even reading some of the history upon how it was in the beginning of the Restoration, and when Joseph Smith was to have, we're told how to where in order to bring it forth from the earth, in order to translate it by the gifted power of God through the interpreters, and the events even around it, and his wife witnessing even of those events. It's a good account, I believe. But the purpose of the plates, and I wanted to kind of surround within the Book of Mormon, it is spoken of many times, referencing it, why, even how they did it, why they did it, you know, the Lord's divine purposes upon it, the Lord's vested power even within it, and to take care of it through time, in 2 Peter 1:21, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And we know it's very powerful and precious that the Word of God, how He would have it to be penned or to be spoken according to His plan and His will, how He the Word to be spoken. And I ask an interest in your prayers. I know I'm not going to be able to get through all of this, and at some time in the future, I'll try to this the second portion of it. But regardless, this is something like how it's described that the plates may have looked like. You know, the plates plates of brass, and there were also plates of gold, but the ones delivered to Joseph Smith were most likely of brass. And purposes of the study is to show the eternal value that the Lord placed within the written or inscribed word upon metal plates that remain within the Lord's promise and power to be preserved for generations until the end of time. And the Lord has told us that His work is not finished, neither shall it be until the end of time. Excuse me just for a moment. I'm going to put this around just like this so that should stay in there. I'm not saying that this is the ancient prophet Mormon or Moroni, just someone's picture of it as well. An abridgment was commanded to be made to come to us in our time by the hand of a man by the name of Mormon. And I guess he did most of the abridging, although that we know that Moroni, his son, had a hand in some of the work as well. Divinely selected texts were used to be added, added testimony for the gospel of Christ and plan of salvation. As we know, we have our Bible along with the Book of Mormon, and so one witnesses of the other. They both complement one another. They tongue and groove one with another, and you want to use even the word dovetail. And if you want to see what a dovetail is or a tongue and groove, look at an old set of dresser drawers. And see how the cuts were made in order to fasten the front and in order to the sides and the bottom. A lot of times you'll see a little a little, might say, a keystone in it, where one interlocks with the other. And the Bible and the Book of Mormon, they dovetail one with another, and they speak one another, prove one another, like I said, witness one another. But divinely selected texts were used to be an added testimony for the gospel of Christ, because there were many hundreds of records. There's even a vault that's still out there with these record, many hundreds of records compiled. But there was a specific work that Prophet Nephi had been commanded to do for it to be to come forth in our day, a work that the Lord wanted compiled or abridged to come forth in our day. Throughout the Record of Mormon, we read the importance that the writers placed to be ever so careful about what they were writing about. And they needed to, of course, inspired of the Lord, what needed to be written. But as we're going to read in one scripture, it says that what they penned down would remain. And you're going to see it in a minute. I have kind of a little visual representation for you. I'm going to pass around for you to kind of play with a little bit and see what I'm talking about. And there's no eraser for scribing on metal, you know, unless it's to be damaged. The work that it took to find ore to smelt and then molten into an alloy that would be sufficient enough to support scribing characters that would stand the test of time for others to handle, to read, and transport across the country, and to also translate. And now I'm talking about alloy. Alloy is a mixture of metals, and in order for them to be able, like brass is going to be an alloy, a composition of probably copper, a little bit of tin, sometimes it's a little bit of other material, but an alloy, a composition of metals that make it a little bit harder for them to inscribe upon, so that the characters that would be placed upon there, or hieroglyphics, or pictures, whichever you want to call it, would last. Because if something was too soft, it'd be too malleable, and then it would be able to be peened away, if you will. And pure copper would be too soft. And as we've had a study on material, you know, metals and so on, that the copper that comes from Michigan has been found throughout the world because of its purity. We get a glimpse of their struggles to bring forth the words commanded them by Almighty God to benefit mankind, speaking of eternal life through Christ. The efforts that it would take for them in order to pen the word, to take care of it, and even a sacred bond and charge for the next ones that were to take care of the plates so they wouldn't fall into the wrong hands, as we'll see. And I'm not telling you these were plates. These are ancient plates that were found, and this is probably looks something similar to, there are some that were, there have been found in Iran. There have been some that found near Turkey. There have been those that the plates of Darius. And so, anyway, these are some of what they could have liked in order to be able to smelt material once again, to bring it to a purity that they can use, they can hammer out or roll out to be able to make thin sheets in order to work upon it. Okay? And these are what they call copper ingots. If you wore oxides, this was from a study that we had weeks ago. And this has probably been, what's the best word for one-on-one copper sulfates? Would be full sulfate. Good word, Randy. Sulfate. Okay. But this is actually copper, and they're pressed out or made into what they call these oxides or ingots, so they could be carried. Okay, much like a suitcase on a person's shoulder. How would we know something like that? How they would carry them? Well, actually, if we take a look at this was an actual hieroglyphic from a tomb, such as this one here was, from the tomb of Rekhmir. And if you see what the guys are carrying on their shoulder, looks much like that ingot. I'm not telling you these were the ones that had come from this or whatever, but it's kind of a likeness, and shows us You know, this is an ancient smelting operation in the bottom right, okay? And they're bringing materials. You know, one is a plate, and the other looks like baskets. Could have been of other materials. It could have been from the making of an alloy. I'm not telling you that's exactly what they were doing there as far as making that material, but just showing you some of what the ancients did. You know, they're definitely, they to be able to find ore, to know what they were looking at, to you know, what type of material it was, to be able to take it somewhere, how to know to be able to work with it, you know, how to make it into something that's trans. There's a lot of technology going out there, you know, and getting something up to be hot enough to be able to melt. What's the melting point of copper? I think is probably upwards of 2,000 degrees, something like that. Now, there's different melting points. I'm just taking a stab at that. Could somebody tell me here? This has come from the same tomb. Okay, this is over near Egypt. This is over actually in Thebes. Could somebody tell me the difference between the top picture and the lower picture right there? The difference in people. Some are light skinned, some are dark skinned. The same tomb. And so anyway, regardless, kind of shows you what the Book of Mormon talks about light skinned, dark skinned people too, doesn't it? This is the same tomb, same place. And you want to Google that, the tomb of Rechmir. He was an official in Thebes. And anyway, it's kind of interesting. This is only one picture. There were several of these pictures showing them carrying. The other, from the other side, showed people carrying in that same stuff on this side here. And so anyway, what I wanted to do was, I have some materials here. They had to etch symbols in order to create pictorial descriptions in order to be able to, you know, pen language in order for the plates to be developed to spread the gospel, okay? And then, of course, interpreted by the hand of God, and their language was even changed. It says there was a reformed Egyptian language, and as we'll be reading shortly. But anyway, I'm going to tell you what I have here. A lot of time in order to be able to lay out steel. This one here is a carbide point scriber. Okay, and I'm not telling you they had carbide. I'm just telling you that's what this is here. Here we have a piece of brass, whatever particular hardness composition, but brass shim stock. Here's another little piece of brass. This one I think is a little softer than this one here. This is actually a piece of copper. This is actually just basically it's not carbide, but it's a hardened awl for scribing on metal too, probably for sheet metal work or whatever. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring it over here, and while we're going over the message. Is all the work that it took for them to put that type of inscription on plates. Okay, all that work in order for that to be penned down. And there was brass plates. Remember, brass is an alloy, and it's harder than copper. Copper is going to be too soft. But anyway, I just wanted to, it kind of gives kind of a reality. What did these people go through? And there is the value that the Lord had put within this in order to, it was told that they didn't write upon paper. They said because those things would waste away and rot. So we write upon nothing but plates. Here I wanted to kind of show you something here. This was also in that same tomb there. And these are other peoples that were bringing things to whomever, okay. In 2 Chronicles 9:21, it tells us, for the king's ships, and this is King Solomon, went to Tarshish with the servants of Huram. Every 3 years, once came the ships of Tarshish bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, peacocks. Okay? And here we find the one man's carrying an ivory tusk, and here we find the apes. You say, where's the peacock? Well, I don't see the peacock other than He could be the one that's hanging there. They just dressed up for lunch. That's possible. Okay? And I don't know what if the other guy was carrying bread or gold, whatever the matter. But regardless, you know, it just kind of shows you. Well, I don't know what value you'd want to take and have somebody shipping in apes for. But anyway, and that I believe that Solomon's throne had ivory all over it. Gold and ivory, along with the 12 lions that were around there. Okay? This is interesting, you know. In 1 Nephi 1, 1 through 2, okay, I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents, therefore I was taught somewhat in all the learning of my father, having seen many afflictions in the course of my days. Nevertheless, having been highly favored of the Lord in all my days, yea, having had a great knowledge of the goodness of the mysteries of God, therefore I make a record of my proceedings in my days, yea, I make a record in the language of my father, which consists of the learning of the Jews and the language of the Egyptians. Okay. And I know that the record which I make is true, and I make it with mine own hand, and I make it according to my knowledge. So it kind of gives you a little added appreciation when he tells you, I make it with my own hand, doesn't it? And it's not that I just wrote it down on paper. I can't just write it or whatever with our pens and so on and so forth. He made this record with his own hand and on metal plates. And so... in the Book of Mormon, in the Book of Mormon, chapter 4, verse 98, and I know, behold, we have written this record according to our knowledge, and the characters which are called among us the Reformed Egyptian, being handed down and altered by us according to our manner of speech. And they said that they deliberately had altered their language. Now, at first he had the language of the Egyptians and learning of the Jews, but they did that so that no one else would be able to read their language. And that it was nothing but the power of God that was going to interpret it. And they also made a means of interpretation. It was even such, as we're going to be reading, that the gold plates, 24 gold plates, that were found when the people of Limhi had come and joined with Mosiah at Zarahemla. And he asked the man that helped them, that was being delivered, that was Ammon, and he says, these plates, nevertheless, they have a great mystery. And asked if he knew someone that could interpret them. And he said, yes, there's a man that can. And the same is called seer. We were talking about this morning in Sunday school about a seer. And using the interpreters, as they call them, and we liken them, they call them to the Urim and Thummim. In our early history, when Joseph Smith was interpreting language, they called him Urim and Thummim then too, and when they were interpreting the characters of the plates and of the Book of Mormon. In 1 Nephi 1 and 17, behold, I make an abridgment of the record of my father upon plates which I have made with my own hands. Wherefore, after that I have abridged the record of my father, then I will make an account of my own life. He says an abridgment. That's a selected material, selected manuscripts, if you will, an abridgment of the record of my father. And could have been many of the prophecies of Lehi. Lehi, of course, was a prophet prophesying unto Jerusalem that they would be destroyed. And because of disobedience, this could have been the record that they lost in the beginning, the Book of Lehi. And... because of disobedience, and it was shown by Martin Harris, and he was and then the work of translation was taken from him for a season until they repented of what had been done, and the Lord gave them back the ability to translate, because we know the work would not be stopped. God's work will not be stopped. And so, you know, it had come to me as I was developing this morning, and the work that they did in order to bring forth the plates to inscribe upon them and make the ore and so on, just as he said, I made it with my own hands, made the plates with his own hands. And you know, I was pondering that action, And I got up to put a piece of wood in the furnace or in the stove. And I got to thinking, you know, how God uses people, how he uses us, and how he used them in order to help bring these things forth. He went through the effort in order to get the ore, to smelt it, to make it, to inscribe the plates, you know, for us, for the gospel's sake. And I'm thinking, you know, I went through the effort in order to go out and cut the wood. I sized it, split it, put it in the barn, brought it in, put it in the furnace. It took some effort. But I thought, I liken the heat of the fire to God's power and what was directing those people back then. They went through the effort in order to be able to do that in order that you know, to for the benefit of the work of the gospel, the power of the Lord and his Holy Spirit. And just like, you know, the Lord could have had all those things all set. He could have just handed us this in 1830 and said, there you go. No, it took work, didn't it? And it took a lot of work for people to take care of it. And there was spiritual work and the power of the Lord and his Holy Spirit. I had to go through the work in order to bring that wood and take it in the house so that I may have the benefit of the fire and the heat. Could have sat on the couch and said, Lord, make it warm. House would have been about 30 degrees this morning. You know? And so anyway, I'm thinking about the value of the plates and how that, you know. 1 Nephi 1, 60 through 61, page 21. Nephi is directed to go to Jerusalem. It came to pass that he spake unto me, I have dreamed a dream. This is Lehi telling Nephi, of course, in which the Lord hath commanded me that thou and thy brethren shall return to Jerusalem. And behold, Laban hath the record of the Jews, and also a genealogy of my forefathers, and they're engraven upon the plates of brass. And as it's going to talk about, that Laban, of course, being the keeper of the treasury, and the genealogy of his forefathers, and going to have the law. They needed the law. It's going to come with them. As it talks about other passages, it has the prophecies of Isaiah and some of Jeremiah. And Isaiah, of course, had been probably a couple hundred years before, but Jeremiah was somewhat contemporary with Lehi. And they knew of some of his prophecies because they said in Jeremiah, have they cast into prison? So it was in that time frame. And there were some of the many of the prophets were prophesying good things to Jerusalem. And the true prophets of the Lord were saying, whoa, wait a minute here. The Lord has judged your abominations and you are going to be destroyed here. And they were preaching repentance. But they were engraven upon plates of brass. Labor of the keeper of the treasure, he loses his life. And if you, of course, we've looked within in the Book of Mormon, we realize that he tried to take away the life of the boys, you know, Nephi, Laman, and Lemuel, and Sam. And so it was such that the Lord needed to subdue Laban in the accounts, of course, in the Book of Mormon. And I thought of this passage that it is the Lord had told Nephi, and he said, it is better that one man should perish than nation should dwindle and perish in unbelief. The records, they needed the records of the Lord, the prophecies, as it talks about, you know, how important. I thought, if people will say, well, why is the part of the Bible in the Book of Mormon, you know, the Book of Isaiah? Well, a wise purpose and powerful purpose in the Lord that the Book of Isaiah is in there. It is the judgments of the Lord upon his people Israel, how important they were to him, and also the restoration of his people. Prophecies concerning his people in the last days as well. Very key and concise that the prophecies of Isaiah would have taken with them. Made so much sense. If we take a look in the Book of Mormon, even expounds and explains a lot of Isaiah to us as well. And as we'll also see here in a portion of Scripture, the nation should dwindle and perish in unbelief, that there were another migration would come to the Americas or the South Americas region, if you will. And as we'll read that scripture, and I'm going to quote it now, it said that their language had become corrupt because they had brought no records with them. And now to me, that has a lot to do with it. In 1 Nephi 1, 58 through 174. Let's turn there, if you would, please, with me. Page 14. Verse 158. And after they had given thanks to the Lord God of Israel, my father took the records which were engraven upon the plates of brass, and he did search them from the beginning. And he beheld that they did contain the five books of Moses, which gave an account of the creation of the world, also of Adam and Eve, who were our first parents, and also the record of the Jews from the beginning, even down to the commencement of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah. And we'll see that mentioned, back, if you will, in the book of Omni, which mentions, you know, some of Zedekiah's seed, youngest, I'm sure, of them. And also the prophecies of the holy prophets from the beginning, even down to the commencement of the reign of Zedekiah. Also many prophets which have been spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah. And it came to pass that my father Lehi also found upon the plates of brass a genealogy of his fathers. Wherefore he knew that he was a descendant of Joseph. Yea, even that Joseph, who was the son of Jacob, who was sold into Egypt, who was preserved by the hand of the Lord, that he might preserve his father Jacob and all his household from perishing with famine. And they were about also led out of captivity and out of the land of Egypt by that same God who had preserved them. And thus my father Lehi did discover the genealogy of his fathers. And Laban also was a descendant of Joseph, wherefore he and his fathers had kept the records. And now when my father saw all these things, he was filled with the Spirit and began to prophesy concerning his seed, that as these plates of brass should go forth unto all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people who were of his seed. Wherefore he said that these plates should never perish, neither should they be dimmed any more by time. And if we took that one picture, and I asked Randy if I had the correct word for how that plate looked, and that was sulfation, right? And what would have happened to those plates? It would have been welded together by sulfation and so on. And he had told, Lehi prophesied, and he said these plates of brass should never perish, neither should be dimmed anymore by time. And if you polish brass, it becomes nice and bright, doesn't it? He prophesied many things concerning his seed, and it came to pass that thus far I and my father had kept the commandments wherewith the Lord had commanded us. We had obtained the record which the Lord had commanded us, and searched them, and found that they were desirable, yea, even of great worth unto us, insomuch that we could preserve the commandments of the Lord unto our children. Wherefore it is wisdom in the Lord that we should carry them with us as we journeyed in the wilderness toward the land of promise. And as we'll read about the migration of those that come forth also later on, with Mulek, the one son of Zedekiah, could have been that they didn't have records with them because maybe that's where the records the boys just took from the treasury. Possible. But the Lord was going to protect and preserve them from that time forward, those plates, even down to where they were lifted out of the earth in about 1827 and approximately in that area in order to begin translation, so they could be read, so they weren't sulfated together. They wouldn't be perished nor be dimmed by time. And they could read the characters that were upon them. Once again, you've taken it, and those that wanted to, you saw what it took in order to put a mark on any of that stuff, didn't you? It was easier to do it with carbide, wasn't it? And I doubt they had carbide. At least they had that the hardened awl or whatever. They could have had hard or something, or maybe it was a diamond tool, possible. But to make thin characters that could be read, quite an effort. Kind of helps you appreciate what was done, don't you? I know I do. And in 1 Nephi 3, 2 through 6, on page 16. It mattereth not to me that I am particular to give a full account of the things of my Father, for they cannot be written upon these plates, for I desire the room that I might write the things of God. And we're going to see a flavor throughout the Book of Mormon, telling them that they were very important. Another thing that I mentioned earlier, that they had to be careful about what was written down. And their reasons, because of the Lord's plan, not theirs. You know, and the fullness of mine intent is that I may persuade men to come to unto God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and be saved. Wherefore the things which are pleasing unto the world I do not write, but the things which are pleasing unto God and unto them which are not of the world. Wherefore I shall give a commandment unto my seed that they shall not occupy these plates with things which are not of worth unto the children of men. And you'll see through the Book of Mormon, it is filled with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we find a reference that we'll be looking to down the road too, where those of the 24 plates of gold that they translated, that they couldn't read, but only through the power of God, told them once again about the gospel of Jesus Christ, back further from those that came from the tower, where Christ had appeared unto the brother of Jared. Page 23, 1 Nephi 2, 96 through 100. Nevertheless, I have received a commandment of the Lord that I should take these plates for the special purpose, that there should be an account engraven of the ministry of my people. Upon the other plates should be engraven an account of the reigns of the kings and the wars and the contentions of my people. Wherefore, these plates are for the more part of the ministry, and the other plates are for the more part of the reign of the kings and the wars and contentions of my people. Wherefore, the Lord hath commanded me to make these plates, he's talking about a separate set here, for a wise purpose in him, which purpose I know not, but the Lord knoweth all things from the beginning. And of course, we know we're reading from those plates. It was probably a smaller set that were more ably transported, is what I'm guessing, because I believe that the other plates of brass were larger, from what I gained from reading. 1 Nephi 5, 226, page 64. And actually, 226 through 229. This I have done and commanded my people they should do that after I was gone, and that these plates should be handed down from one generation to another, or from one prophet to another, until further commandments of the Lord. And an account of my making these plates shall be given hereafter. And, of course, the account of making these plates doesn't quite tell how the smelting operation or how he had combined alloys or whatever he had done, just said that he did, that they had, you know, and even down to the end when they were to bury the plates in the ground and they had to be careful about what was put on what they had left, because he said, I don't have any ore. I don't have any more plates. I'm running out of plate room, and I have none. You know, in other words, to make more from. And that was, of course, from Moroni. But then, behold, I beseech you, according to that which I have spoken, and this I do, that the more sacred things may be kept for the knowledge of my people. Nevertheless, I do not write anything on these plates, save I think it to be sacred. What does that tell us? To me, that's very valuable. Very valuable. If he proclaimed, we're over, goodness sake, 2,600 years ago, that they were sacred. And Lord went through all that trouble to preserve a record that we may see, that we may know, that we may be encouraged and led and taught to declare the words of Jesus Christ. It's a very important thing that we read that sacred record and we know what it says between its covers. There's another portion where it says that out of the books that shall be written shall the world be judged. I think it'd be well with us to know what's in them, so we may know how to be instructed, to be led, and directed, to be preserved, and blessed. A blessed people, yes. Also partake and to participate in this great work that the Lord has declared. 1 Nephi 3, 161 through 63. Nephi is shown the record of the Jews or the Bible to come forth unto the Gentiles. He gives witness. When I was talking about that tongue and groove. And he said unto me, the book which thou beholdest is the record of the Jews, which contains the covenants of the Lord. which he hath made unto the house of Israel. And it also containeth many of the prophecies of the holy prophets. It is a record like unto the engravings which are upon the plates of brass, save there are not so many. Nevertheless, they contain the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. Wherefore, they are of great worth unto the Gentiles. Yes, and they are of great worth to us, aren't they? They are of great worth, along with the Book of Mormon. Both of the sacred words of the Lord. But they contain the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. And it is also very important. And so what is important is that he's also mentioning this here as well. Part of that dovetailing process, if you will. They have great worth unto the Gentiles. He talks about it's like unto the engravings which are upon the plates of brass, save there are not so many. So evidently at that time, or what he was to see, was not as many, or what they had at that time among the Nephite people were quite a few. All that had been taken from the treasury, and all that had been written upon, or whatever up to that time, they have had quite a few. One thing to note here as well, some of the Dead Sea Scrolls were written upon copper plate. When they found in the Qumran cave, if you will, there were scrolls in basins or urns, if you will, and some was on copper. I thought it was kind of interesting. And from my understanding, I think a lot of it there were the writings of Isaiah in the Qumran library. First Nephi 7, 1 through 11, where it appears that the house of Israel sooner or later will be scattered upon all the face of the earth and also among all nations. And behold, there are many which are already lost from the knowledge of they which are at Jerusalem. Yea, the more part of all the tribes have been led away, and they are scattered to and fro upon the isles of the sea. And whether they are, none of us knoweth, save we know that they have been led away. And since they have been led away, these things which have been prophesied concerning them, and also concerning all they which shall hereafter be scattered and be confounded because of the Holy One of Israel, because against him will they harden their hearts. A little more plain language about the house of Israel, and of course about the prophecies of Isaiah, and they have been led upon the isles of the sea. 2 Nephi 2, 19 through 24. This record will be instrumental to help restore knowledge to Israel. Wherefore the fruit of my loins shall write, and the fruit of the loins of Judah shall write. And that which shall be written by the fruit of my loins, and also that which shall be written by the fruit of the loins of Judah shall go together, under the confounding of false doctrines and laying down of contentions, and establish peace among the fruit of thy loins, and bringing them to the knowledge of their fathers in the latter days. Also to the knowledge of my covenants, saith the Lord. And out of weakness he shall be made strong, and that day when my work shall be commenced among all my people, under the restoring thee, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. The value of the written word, once again. Under the confounding false doctrine and laying down of contentions, establish peace among the fruit of thy loins. Bring them to the knowledge of their forefathers, and that they had known of Jesus Christ. I know of there was an experience on the ministry in our church, had talked to a group of, I think it was Navajo, but they were in their lodge, and he was trying to get their attention and trying to talk to them, you know, about the gospel of Christ. And they were booing and hissing and stuff like that. What are you doing here, white man? And all that kind of thing that they, you know, because of their attitude. And he said, did your grandfathers speak with a forked tongue? And that boy, they hushed that right down. You don't dare call my forefathers, you know, a liar. And they said, no, they didn't speak with a forked tongue. And he says, well, this book right here declares that they knew about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then he had their attention span, was able to talk more about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that they would be, and there's so much talking about in the Book of Mormon about them being able to come out of obscurity and out of darkness. That's a lack of knowledge and to understand what their history really was, and of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they are to be restored to the truth of the gospel of Christ. 1 Nephi in the 4th chapter and the 4th verse. Actually, I'm sorry, that's not a good... 17 through 23. Interesting. Why did I have that? Anyway, fat finger number. That day shall the remnant of our seed know that they are of the house of Israel, and they are the covenant people of the Lord. And then shall they know and come to the knowledge of their forefathers, and also the knowledge of the gospel of their Redeemer, which was ministered unto their fathers by him. Wherefore they shall come to the knowledge of their Redeemer, and the very points of his doctrine, that they may know how to come unto him and be saved. And then at that day will they not rejoice and give praise unto their everlasting God, their rock and their salvation? Yea, at that day will they not receive the strength and nourishment from the true vine? Yea, will they not come unto the true fold of God? Behold, I say unto you, they will be remembered again among the house of Israel. And I'll have a correct reference for you at the next time when I'm able to give the second portion, whatever that will be. And so, how important is that for that to be preserved? Yea, will they not come under the true fold of God? Yea, that day will they not receive strength and nourishment from the true vine? John in the 15th chapter talks about the true vine, doesn't it? Those that abide in the vine. And now that could very well be 2 Nephi, I think. Let me look just for a moment here. No? Okay. I promise to give you that correct reference. I'll try to make a point of that. So, but trust me, it is in there word for word. In Jacob, in the first chapter, verses 3 through 6, for he said that the history of his people should be engraven upon his other plates, and that I should preserve these plates and hand them down into my seed from generation to generation. And Jacob was a brother of Nephi, and he received a charge concerning the plates to be taken care of. And they were a spiritual charge. And as if it were preaching which were sacred, or revelation which was great, or prophesying, that I should engrave in the heads of them upon these plates. Do you see how he mentions that? Now, it's either high points or the heads of them could have been talking about a little bit of pictorial character description there, possibly. Or, once again, the important parts of them. And touch them upon them as it were possible, for Christ's sake and for the sake of our people. For because of the faith and great anxiety which it truly had been made manifest unto us concerning our people, what things should happen unto them. And we also had many revelations and the spirit of much prophecy, wherefore we knew of Christ and his kingdom, which should come. And we know that's a very abbreviated verse. Verse 6, they certainly knew of Christ's kingdom, which should come. Explained in great detail in many portions. And the plain and precious gospel of Jesus Christ in many places.